All right. Well, old gray hairs. I see why he asked me to come in tonight. So a few extra of those. Also, I apologize. I haven't been to a youth group since 1999. So I may not have some of the norms down, and I may use some words I shouldn't. Not like that, but just like, I don't know. My name is Brian. You already introduced me, so I'm not going to say all that again. But I have some notes. Let's get them in the right order here. So 20 minutes on one thing, I think we would all be probably scratching for things to say after 20 minutes of one thing. But if there's one thing that I think I could probably pass on, it would be there's two ways you can learn from somebody. Do you know the answer? Do you remember? What's the answer?
You can learn from your mistakes or someone else's mistakes.
Yep. That and a slight variation. You can learn something from everybody. You can do what they do, or you cannot do what they do. So with that lesson in mind, I'm just going to kind of give a little bit of who I am and my story, with probably some lessons learned along the way, through some verses that are really, I would say, like foundational for me. If you say like, what's your life verse? That's not really something that I say. But I do think that there are places when you hit scripture that just, man, that is spot on. If you go through my Bible, there's some underlines. I'm sure some of y'all are there. Now, there's a critical first step to finding verses that are meaningful for you. And I have to do interactive. Osmond knows how I operate. I try to just lead through questions, but I know it's my turn to talk tonight, so I'll try and keep doing that. But what's a critical first step to finding verses in your Bible?
Reading the Bible.
Hey, there we go. Extra credit for that man right there. you got to get in the sucker, right? So I would say I wasn't an avid Bible reader until after college, Mr. Pollock. Is Lord of the Rings out of context? Lord of the Rings, anybody?
Yes.
A couple. All right. Yep. The old guy over here. Good job. So, yeah, all right. You've either read the books or you saw the movies. So the movies came out when I was in high school, and the first movie comes out, and it's 3 hours long, Fellowship of the Ring. And so everybody shows up. They're watching Fellowship of the Ring. And they're like, this movie's great. And then the movie's ending is terrible, because it's just people like running off to find Frodo in the woods, and they have no idea what's going on. And so those of us who had read the books knew that there were three. But people who didn't read didn't know there were more movies to come. So I went to a Sunday school, and somebody described the book of Acts in the Bible as the two towers of the Bible, right? Like everybody grows up listening to the Jesus stories, Jesus Storybook Bible, right? You know all the gospel stories out there. You may even know who this Paul guy is, but you don't really know Acts that well for the most part. At least I didn't. So I was like, oh my gosh, there's more to this story. So I just started reading it. And I was like, kind of Forrest Gump. I'm just going to use all my movie references and you'll have to suffer through them. But I got through Acts, and it was just kind of like Forrest Gump. It's like, well, I ran to the end of the county, might as well keep going, and just kept reading that sucker. So I got to Revelation, and I was like, well, shoot, what do I do now? So I go back to the beginning and read through. And so as I was reading through, some parts are not terrible. It's the Bible. I do love it. But there's some parts that are harder, okay, right? If you haven't figured that out, you will soon enough. So, but I get, you know, Genesis, great. Exodus, good. Leviticus, Numbers, rough. Deuteronomy, a little better. Judges, story time again. This is awesome. Right? And so then I start to get into post-Moses time, right? Post-Judges. And I got into, you know, the story of David, right? Everybody knows story of David. Anybody not David? Everybody good? Okay. slay Goliath. Next thing you know, he's king. After that, slips up a little bit, has a kid, Solomon, tries to build a temple, but that's pretty much David, right? Yeah, except the first half of his life, the dude is on the run. And you're reading this book and you're like, holy cow, where's the king part come in? Is this guy ever going to get there? And so finally he does. And it's a pretty cool moment. But at the end of that, the first thing he does, and this is David, it's a very David thing to do, he writes a song, right? So it's in the Psalms, but I came across this. It's 2 Samuel 22, verses 2 through 4. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, it was the first time, like, through this project of like, oh, this is it. And I'm going to summarize it because that's just how it sticks in my head. I may get a little bit of ordering off, but feel free to go back. And Osman, you can edit this, please. But 2 Samuel 22, 2 through 4, my God is my rock, my fortress and deliverer. The Lord is my rock, the shield and the horn of my salvation. I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies. That's it. But it has such a climax moment of like, just, man, all of that. Like, and all of that before that. And now there's just this moment where he stops. You can almost just hear the silence right as he's thinking through this. That he just like is like, oh my gosh, you were there the whole time, right? You had my back. You were looking out for me. And that has come through in spades for me. There have been times, you know, simple times, a bad flight, right? Just, man, it's pretty windy. I can't see anything out there, right? And I can lose my mind. I can panic on the inside, cry myself to sleep, or I can find comfort in my God, my rock, my fortress and deliverer, who will see me through times of trouble, which is not part of that verse, but it's an implied statement there. And I'll tell you a big one. So in 2006, 2007, I don't want to know where you were in 2006, 2007, or if you were alive. I was in a sunny place, much like Tampa, Florida, that I thought at first it looked like it, called Balad, Iraq. And so my very first mission, I'm in a Humvee, and you know, we'd done all the training, we knew the drills, we'd done the rehearsals, we had the plan, the maps, the satellite communications, more guns and bullets than I've ever seen in my entire life. And we each have plenty. But we're heading out through the fence, and I just remember the fence line going past me. And at that point, realizing that I was entering a land where people wanted to kill me. Maybe not actively, not like my name wasn't on their list or a face on their wall, like, oh, there's the guy, right? But they actively, you know, there were people who didn't want me there. And they were willing to blow me up and make sure I didn't go home. Or if I did go home, that I wasn't alive. And this was a phenomenal help. You know, my God is my rock, my fortress and deliverer. You can't look at me anymore. but it really was a comfort, right? Scripture was comfort for me. This was comfort for me, knowing that God had my protection in mind. So that one has been like a bulwark for me. Like, it's, you know, periods of anxiety. I'm not bulletproof. I'm also not immune to mental challenges, right? So at times where I can't see what's over the hill or what's over a week from now, or right now I'm very anxious about my water heater exploding in the basement and my basement filling with water, right? A little lighter, but knowing that he's my fortress and deliverer, my shield and the horn of my salvation. So I forgot to set a time. So I would offer that one to you. The next one is Philippians 3, 7 through 8. And the reason for that one's for me is I have been very fortunate through my personal life and my military career. I'm a lieutenant colonel. I have more awards than a Mexican general. The government has paid for me to go places and see things and do things that I'll never do again, right? I've worked with the Israeli army. I've worked with the Polish army. I've worked with the Hungarian Defense Force. I've worked with the Germans, just all over the place, right? Somebody who's been there, I was there too. Somebody who've done it, okay, I'm not a Navy SEAL or anything like that, so I'm not going to write a book, but I've done plenty. And here's what I'll tell you. It's meaningless compared to Christ. If you think that's going to keep you warm at night, you're moving in the wrong direction. If you think that it's going to leave you feeling fulfilled, it's not. At the end of riches, at the end of being the four-star general, at the end of getting all the awards, at the end of winning the championship, I hate to tell you, it's just hollow emptiness at the end of it. And it just doesn't scratch the itch that God can. It doesn't mean those things are bad. It doesn't mean those experiences weren't fantastic. And that I didn't find joy in them, right? It's God's creation. He put me there for a reason. We should find joy in those things, but don't make it your end. So does anybody have Philippians 3, 7 through 8 memorized? Okay, I don't either. So I just want to get it right. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. And not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. As you're going off to college, as you're hitting a senior year in high school, just know there's more to it than that. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying it, but just keep that in mind. All right, so the newest one, and this is my last one, so 3 points, that means conclusion's coming, right? So thank you for holding on for this long. Being an Army person, being a guy, expected to be tough, and all these things, you tend to neglect aspects of your life as you move through it. And sometimes understanding and appreciating emotions and embracing some of the softer pieces, and I wouldn't say softer is weaker. If you think that's the case, we'll talk outside. But it's really that relationships do matter. It's not kind of like the last one, right? You're going to get good grades. You're going to go do great things. But it's who you do them with, and it's the people you care for that I would say are very important. And it was something I neglected, frankly. The thing I tell people at work, my new philosophy there is just to care about the 5 people around you. So right now, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, you all are in. So who's around you? What's going on in their lives? What are they happy about? What's bothering them? Invest in them. And that's really, that's how we achieve anything, is through relationships. But two, life lonely is brutal. I wouldn't recommend it at all. John 13:34. Anybody know that one? Man, I Read your Bible, okay? A new commandment I give to you, to love one another. And this is how they'll know that you're mine, is that you, is how you care for one another. And that's the Eschbach Standard Version. But but it's really like, that's, you know, Jesus has said, go into all the nations. Yeah, we got to do, as we go, you know, baptize and teach and all those things. But we're also called to love one another too. And sometimes, especially in a doctrine-focused area, we kind of forget that piece, that we're all in this together and that we need to really care about the people that God has put in our lives and recognize it's not happenstance that he's put them there. So, in summary, what's my one thing, Jay? Oh my gosh. What's my one thing? Okay, the Bible's one thing. All right. Read your Bible. No, it's much more practical than that. Read your Bible's good. Yeah. Look, there's two ways you can learn from people. You can do what they do, or you can don't do what they do. Right? Hey, okay, today, just think through your day. How many people were you like, there's no way I'm ever doing that? Right? Like, that's going to happen. So just make a log and remember, like, when you find yourself in that situation, I'm not going to do that. But if you're gonna learn, you know, a few of my mistakes, I would say get into your Bible, figure out what's most important. I would commend to you that's Jesus. He's worthy to rely on, and he's going to take care of you and care about the people around you.